Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. Excuse me, sir. I'm from the BBC.
Yeah, well, don't complain to me. We all have to work somewhere.
I'd like you to tell us, what do you think of women's lip?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's f***ing marvellous.
So you're in favour of women getting what they're after?
Yes, always f***ing will have been.
Thank you, sir. Excuse me, madam. Can you tell us what you think of women's lip?
I'm totally against it.
I'm sorry to hear that. Why?
Well, I burned my bra once and absolutely nobody noticed.
Thank you, madam.
I think it was the show jumping that did it, but...
Thank you, madam. Now then, sir, I wonder if you'd...
No, thank you. No, I don't want to swap two packets for one. I've been on telly before, you know. I was the one who knew it was the mint with the hole.
What I was going to ask you, sir...
Now, what's more, I knew Katie's cubes before they went to America. And another thing, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I don't like hot chocolate, hot chocolate. Drinking chocolate, hot chocolate.
I think there's some mistake. This is not a television commercial. I'm Barry Haynes, and I work for the BBC.
Well, don't complain to me. We've all got to work somewhere.
Thank you. Of course, women's lib has struck everywhere, even in the Navy. For instance, little does Captain Purvey know that whilst he's abroad on a goodwill mission, his dear wife Ramona is creating havoc and devastation with the top brass in the Ministry of Defence.
Crumbling Christine Truman's old sport. We at the Ministry of Defence can't be responsible for your double faults. But do the same as Birkett and I do. Wang it down the sidelines and hope somebody else cops it in their van in. Or out. Oh, well, be like that. Oh, and you.
Hello, Deacon.
Hello.
I see you are going through the phone routine as usual because you're trying to dodge paying for the tennis court and because you don't want me to beat you.
Item one. The first time you beat me at tennis, Jimmy Savile will stop dyeing his hair and get it cut. And item two, I paid for the court last time and here's the receipt.
Forged.
It isn't. And if you must know, I've been working.
That'll be the day.
Yes, I have. That was admin on the phone. They've got this old bird, Mrs. Povey. She's married to Captain Povey of Portsmouth.
And blow his horrible life.
Well, anyway, she's been pounding round the MOD demanding her conjugal rights.
Saucy sound.
My very words. Anyway, apparently it's urgent, so I've sent her to... Guess who?
Not...
Yes, old Birkett, Commander Weatherby. By the time she gets any sense out of him, I'll have beaten you 6-0 before she can get a word in.
Oh, chance would be a fine thing. And don't forget, it's your turn to pay for the bus home afterwards.
All right, but only if we don't go upstairs. You know, I haven't got a head for heights.
You even get dizzy standing downstairs next to the conductor.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
The Ministry of Defense. Under extension 105. Under extension 5 to 5 to 3 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 Extension. Quick march. Left, right, left, right. The Ministry of Defense. Under extension 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 Come on, to hell with it. I'm out. Phone somebody else. Now, let me see. Where was I?
Right. You'll do.
I'm going to do.
Don't you do me, my man. I am the distinguished wife of Captain Povey, who has the honor to be my husband.
Don't silence.
All you require to do is to sit there with your tiny seat on your vast seat and listen to every word.
All right.
Good boy. Now then, Henry Povey, the man my dear mother warned me not to marry, but like a fool I did, is gadding about on the ocean waves with some of your little sailor friends in HMS Triplet. No, it's not.
Oh.
I refuse to permit him to go on the rampage and enjoy himself behind my back. I'm glad you agree. I've seen every other fool in every other office in this ridiculous building. And you're the first sensible man I've met. When do I leave? Don't interrupt. He will get on so well. I demand to be flown out at the ministry's expense to Monte, whatever it is in South America, to see what my conniving husband is up to with those South American hussies. Now, I presume I pick up my airline ticket at reception. I'll kindly arrange it. Good boy. Then don't let this happen again. Henry Povey is a happily married man. He may be in the Navy, but he is not supposed to go to sea.
Well?
Well, what, Mr. Finnick?
How about congratulations all round to lovable Leslie for getting us here?
Oh, you've got to see her, all right, sir. But where is he here? Oh, it looks like Monty's Whaler. It sounds like Monty's Whaler, but is it Monty's Whaler?
Take my word for it, Chief, it is Monty's Whaler. And if it isn't, we'll try somewhere else.
Bang, boing, bang, boing, bang. So I presume Mr. Phillips has docked us in Montezuela? Possibly.
Yes.
Well, anyway, gentlemen, I've got good news for you. I've been authorized to give the ship's company, with the exception of a skeleton crew, 4 days' leave to promote goodwill between our nation and the Montezuelans. Whoever they are, wherever we are.
In 6 to 4, I'll be the skeleton crew.
No, Chief, you'll be going ashore. I want to see if the rumors are true.
Rumors? What rumors?
That given 4 days ashore, you can set up a chain of lucrative gambling dens.
Get an illicit still brewing bathtub gin going profitably.
Fit out every cafe and bar with cleverly rigged and highly remunerative slot machine.
Take over the local protection racket for bawdy houses at twice the original rate.
Blackmail the entire government into making you president.
Pinching all the silver from the royal palace.
And still get back on board in time to sail away before the local rozzers have rumbled you.
Ah, well, you know me, gents all assembled. And it's a flaming lie.
Oh, I can hardly wait. 4 ecstatic days in Montezuela on my own. Oh, I'm going to see it all. Every bar, every dance hall, every cabaret. Do you think there's one where they have topless, or better still, bottomless?
Sexy swan.
Oh, no. You don't seem to understand. I'm a naturalist.
You dirty old devil.
No, I'm nothing of the sort. No, I merely feel that when one's abroad, one should adapt oneself to the local colour and customs. Oh, mind you, in the daytime, I shall also visit the local museums, take in the local art galleries, and take snaps of the local monuments, and write to my dear wife Ramona every day and tell her about them. Oh, how I shall miss her. And, of course, she'll be missing me.
Somehow, I don't think she will be missing you, sir.
What? But of course she will.
No, sir. Now, in case you hadn't noticed, standing there on the quayside is a parasol, a pair of 1938 sunglasses.
A large floppy hat with bunches of plastic fruit on it.
A tubular dress that looks like a roll of wallpaper.
And a pair of white Minnie Mouse shoes.
Oh, no, not...
Oh, yes!
Your dear wife, Ramona.
Get off your little tin bags at once and give me a hand.
Oh, good grief. And the coming, Ramona, my love.
And about time, too. I can manage the carrier bag with the squid fillets and the coconuts, but I should require you to give me a hand with my passion fruit.
Ooh, nasty.
There you are, Captain Pogerson. The good fairy has granted your every wish. One legitimate bit of topless and bottomless delivered on time. She's all yours, sir.
Silencio! This meeting of the northeastern branch of the Santo Rosario Cordoba and Taggio Valermo San Galdis CC Avenue branch of the Raffia is now in session. And under the guidance of me, ill godmother. Are we all here? Wait, we will observe protocol. I, El Godmother, will call the roll. Silencio! We commence. Beni the Big Banger?
Si, si, amigo.
Dolores the Danglers?
Si, si, amigo.
Giuseppe the Jellied Knight?
Si, si, amigo.
Carlo the Chloroform?
Si, si, amigo.
Manuela the Meat Skewer?
Si, si, amigo.
Big Dutch Sancho.
Si, si, much love.
All present and correct. Now, you all know that tonight El Presidente will be attending a ball to celebrate Montezuela's 100th revolution. This year.
Si, si,
si. Silencio! Now, my orders are for you all to be at this ball tonight, separate El Presidente from his breath, and start revolution number 101. I shall not be in there with you. I, El Godmother, will be outside as usual in my armored car with the engine running. At the given signal from me, my chauffeur will throw a brick through the window. You will all then stand up as honored guests, shooting, bombing, blowing up, and taking over the government. Good. And remember, while you're doing it, try to create as little disturbance and noise as possible.
How do you throw a quiet bomb?
That, Big Dutch Sancho, is your problem. El Presidente is nearly deceased. Long live El Presidente. Me.
Si, si.
All shut up, you CCing twits.
Very much, my love. I'm very grateful, but shouldn't you have been the one going backwards?
Silencio! You will now all stand up. El Presidente has arrived. We will now all sing a glorious Montezuelan national anthem. Thank you, amigos. A one, a two...
Praise Presidente, praise government, praise to our national flag. Praise upon praise to them, praise to all of them. There are no praises to all of them, oh Presidente. Arre!
Josh. Amigo Marisa, what a catchy tune.
Jolly stirring words, too. Enough to make the blood race through the veins.
I reckon that we'll both be whistling it all the way back to the ship.
Very probably.
How's it go?
By George, he's got it. I think he's got it.
Yeah, you're right. It is catchy. Now, I must say, it's a great relief that the reception's going off extremely well. I know it's silly of me, but I was almost expecting some trouble tonight.
I wonder why you were wearing your dress uniform and ceremonial sword.
Well, not really. It's only the hilt. The sharp bit fell off a couple of days ago. I haven't had time to glue it back on.
Actually, I didn't dare wear mine, because the last time I did, at a ball, halfway through the first dance, I laddered a half dozen pair of tights and cut the rubber heels off my own shoes and pinned my hostess to the furniture so that when she stood up, her dress came away.
Good gracious, you must have been popular.
I wasn't, but she was. Even Marlon Brando had to admit it was the last tango of all time.
Come along, Mr. Phillips. Time we circulated. After all, we are the honored guests.
Manuelo. Manuelo the meat skewer. Over here.
What is it, Carlo, the chloroform?
There are 5 minutes to go before the godmother's chauffeur hurls a brick through the window. We must synchronize our watches, amigo.
Okay, I make it 9:15 precisely.
I make it 20 to 5 precisely.
It's near enough, amigo. Uh-huh. My 0 hour is 9:20 and yours is 4:15.
Splendid. All is going according to plan. The godmother will be pleased as he watches our success through the bulletproof glass of his armored car.
He is brave man, our godmother.
Where is your meat skewer?
Under the tray at the ready.
Good. And Big Dutch Sancho with his quiet bumps?
He is behind the curtains of that window over there.
Good, amigo. I see that Benny the Big Bang and Dolores the Dangler have taken up their positions by the bar.
See, and Rini the Rat-Tat Gun has got his men in position on the balcony.
Good, amigo.
There is only one thing left, amigo. Where is your chloroform?
Oh, caramba. So many things on my mind. Excuse, 2 minutes. I go hold up chemist across the road and borrow some.
Yes. Hey, you, Horan Sanke.
Senora.
I require you to make an extremely important announcement. I have decided that I wish to add considerably to El Presidente's pleasure tonight.
So sorry, Senora. El Presidente already has 4 wives. But if you really are desperate, my address is 69...
Now, I'm a happily married woman. I am about to make my own personal tribute to El Presidente to further good relations between our countries by singing the original Zuelian tribe's version of the Montezuelian national anthem, as it used to be sung, in the original primitive Zuelian language.
Where did you get this translation, Senora? It has been lost for centuries.
We English are not fools, you know. I purchased it down a side street in a shop owned by a humorous gentleman called Pedro the Porno. He was speaking very highly of his old godmother, so I knew that he was worthy of having an English customer.
But the her godmother? I cannot possibly...
Now, do as I say. Summon the pianist. He knows the tune.
Oh, si, senora. But be it on your own head.
Oh, good grief. Ramona's going to sing.
Sing what?
I only hope she knows.
Silence! A brave blow. Now then, El Presidente, on behalf of the British Navy, it will give you great pleasure to hear me sing your national anthem in the original way. Right, pianist, give me a note.
Broken that glass window with that high note.
No! It was a brick thrown from that car outside.
Gosh, Mrs. Povey's singing started the revolution.
No, it's not my dear wife's fault. She got the wrong translation. The word for praise is Ereste, and she was singing Ereste, Herr Presidente.
What does that mean?
Something in rather Harvey Smith tradition, I believe.
I didn't see her make a gesture.
Evidently, Mr. Phillips, she didn't need to.
I've heard of people breaking mirrors and wine glasses with high notes before, but I've never heard of anybody starting a revolution by sucking in a brick through the window.
Oh, my head. What hit me?
Oh, do you think it was the brick that Mrs. Povey sucked in that bounced off you and then hit me?
Exactly, no. Oh, whatever hit me. I can smell chloroform.
No, sir. No, you're totally wrong. It's brick dust you can smell. It comes from the brick that your dear wife Ramona sucked in through the window.
What is this idiot talking about?
I've no idea any more than you have, sir, but there does seem to have been a revolution in which your wife played a principal part.
Come to think of it, do you think we ought to try to wake your wife up, sir?
No. For grief's sake, leave her the way she is. It's the first time she's had her big mouth shut for 35. It might be dangerous. You know, like sleepwalkers. Listen. It's something going tick-tock, 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 tick-tock.
Lummy. My Mickey Mouse watch is talking to me louder than usual. He sounds urgent. I wonder if he's trying to tell me that his boots are too tight.
Phillips, it's not your Mickey Mouse watch going tick-tock. It's this briefcase labeled Big Dutch Sancho, whose wrist appears to be padlocked to the other end of that chain.
I remember him. He's the large South American gentleman who was hiding behind the curtains and got hit by the brick that Mrs. Povey sucked in through the window.
What, is he going out of his mind, or am I?
Leave it to me, sir. It'd be a simple matter for me to wake up Big Dutch Sancho and get the key. Come on, wake up. Wake up, Mr. Big Dutch Sancho, gentleman. Wake up! Where's the key? Where's the key?
Down by the river.
No, not that sort of key. The one that undoes the padlock on your wrist so that we can get rid of your briefcase containing the bomb.
Briefcase? Bomb? Oh, hang on here. What's the time? Oh, let's see. According to Carlo's watch, it'll be 9:40. According to Manuelo's watch, it'll be 5:10. And according to my watch, it's nearly too late. Here, get it off me. Here, somebody send for a hacksaw. I'll get blown up. Oh,
good grief. Do something, somebody.
Just a tick-tocking moment. It's all right. Lovable Leslie is here. I'll soon defuse the bomb.
You do no such thing.
Oh, hurry up, somebody. Come on. Open the case. Oh, come on, hurry up. Oh, don't stand around there. Open the case. Oh, the key to the wrist cuffs in there. Get the thing off me.
Come on, Ramona. Wake up. You're sleeping by a bomb.
No.
Just a minute. Just a minute. Ah, now that's handy. There's a pair of pliers and a screwdriver in here. I'll soon get the detonator out of this bomb.
No, don't
panic. I once did a morning's crash course on bomb disposal. That was at Dartmouth years ago. It's easy. Just trust lovable Leslie. I'm not just a brilliant navigator, you know.
Phillips, give me that...
Now, first... I must cut the green wire.
No. Come on, please. Get this thing off my wrist first. I want to run for it. Come on, hurry up.
Then, we cut the grey wire. So?
Right. Well, Mr. Phillips obviously knows what he's doing. You don't need me here any longer.
You stay here. If I'm going to be blown up, you're going to be blown up.
Come on. Oh, come on now. Oh, hurry up. Come on, get this thing off me.
Then the blue wire. So, and finally, the red wire. So, there we are.
He's done it. We're safe. Oh, I'll see you get a medal for this.
It was nothing.
Oh, where am I?
You're all right, Mrs. Povey. Mr. Phillips has just...
No, it hasn't. If you three want to make sure that I remain a happily married man, you'll keep your mouth shut. It's all right, Ramona. You'll be quite safe. I'm just about to defuse the bomb in this briefcase.
But I've already...
Now, first we cut the green wire. So.
Oh, Henry, I've misjudged you. I had no idea I was married to such a brave man.
Now, the grey wire... So?
No, don't do it, Henry. You're a happily married man.
But I've already...
Shut up!
Now, for the blue bar.
Oh, Henry, my hero.
Hero? But I've already...
And now, finally, the black wire.
No, the red wire.
Get it off the wrist. Throw it away.
Right. Look out, chaps. I'll bung it through the window.
Oh, it's landed on the roof of old godmother's car. Oh, well. There's one thing we have learned today, haven't we? Bulletproof that car may have been, but bomb-proof certainly wasn't.
You meddle with things you don't understand. You've had your last Sunday afternoon crumpet in front of the fire. And furthermore, I shall never sing for you again.
Oh, Ramona.
Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray and John Pertwee have been revolting in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the CO, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Richard Caldicott was Captain Purvey. Heather Chasen was Ramona Purvey, Tenniel Evans was Carlo, Michael Bate was Manuelo. The announcer was Barry Haynes, the show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.